Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, this week we got a big topic.
A big topic.
Really big topic.
For a comedy show to cover.
So we should just jump right in. I had a question for you, but I can ask it later. It's not a personal question or anything. Maybe it's more of a philosophical question. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe this conversation will open your mind a bit before I pose this question to you.
So, all right, the topic today is meditation.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Oh, how are you doing this week?
Great. So the topic is meditation.
Uh-huh.
And we have a lot to cover.
Yes.
But you have this question that you've teased.
You're going to have to tune in later. Don't skip ahead. Just wait. No, yeah. I'll ask it later.
But now I'm going to be distracted the whole time.
Well, don't worry about it.
Can you give me a hint about what the question
is? I gave you a hint. It's kind of like a philosophical question.
A philosophical question.
Yeah, it's not like a personal question. No, I'd be like, where were you Thursday night?
Tom, can I tell you something real quick before we get into the topic?
You
meditation?
Can't remember anything past like a day ago, right?
I bought one of these. Like, I remember things. Like if you told me, like if you were just like, "Hey, remember that time you went to that restaurant with your wife?" Like, yes, I remember it.
Well, that's sad, Tim. You should. It only happened once. That's all the information you need.
Yeah.
To be like, yeah. No, I remember it very well.
What? I can't. Be eating out more than once in a lifetime.
Right. Who's got that kind of money in this economy?
No, that's burning money. Also, they spit in your food, Tom. Even if they like you, they spit in your food.
No,
they don't like you, they spit in your food to razz you. But if they like you, it's like, no, it's nice. It's like a term of endearment.
No, if they want to be nice, they kiss your food.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fine.
But they French kiss your food, Tom. Oh. And that's as bad as spitting.
And that's why there's always a hole in my burritos.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
In the middle. That's where a tongue was.
Yeah. Ugh. Somebody tongue kisses your burrito.
Yeah.
But
has this burrito been tongue kissed? You can ask a
waiter. Yes, compliments of the chef. And then you look into the
yes, sir. Yes.
You look into the kitchen and through that little window, you see the chef give the chef's kiss.
Yeah,
the
mwah.
Yeah, it's like I wish you give the burrito a chef's kiss instead of a French kiss.
Hey, give the burrito a chef's kiss. Give me a tongue kiss.
Yeah, come on, chef. What was I saying? Oh, so I bought one of these 5-year journals. Do you know this?
5 years.
Yeah, that was Bob Dylan's cover of David Bowie's 5 Years.
Right.
Okay. I bought one of these.
That was from the commercials for the journals, right?
Yeah, exactly. They got Bob Dylan, but they couldn't license one of his songs.
Right.
So,
well, he has a lot of artistic integrity about that. He's like,
exactly.
But I'll cover another song.
And you got to put ladies in lingerie.
What?
Remember, the only commercial you ever appeared in for a while was
the Victoria's Secret. Yeah.
That was like next level thinking. That was like...
like, you don't have to pay me. Just get a bunch of beautiful women in lingerie to surround me.
But like, he did like the weird celebrity thing of like, I'm just going to do a weird thing. Like 2 decades before every celebrity is going to be... It's like... Hey, wouldn't it be random if I was in this weird commercial?
Yeah.
Right?
You remember, like, when we were kids, or not even, like, kids, like, teenagers, we would get our minds blown when they would be like, hey, you know, like, in Japan, Arnold Schwarzenegger's in a commercial.
Yeah.
And it was the most insane, like, what? He's way too big of a celebrity to be in a commercial. This is insane. And nowadays, everybody's in commercials.
Yeah, they had too much integrity to do a commercial in front of an American audience.
Yeah.
But now they're just like hawking diet pills on Twitter and stuff.
Right. Well, and now, like, somebody like a Matthew McConaughey, when he started doing Lincoln commercials, like, people were like, oh, look at another great Matthew McConaughey performance. He's doing these Lincoln commercials. Even when it came out later that, what is it, Lincoln had to, like, throw those cars in a river because he doesn't wear deodorant and he stunk up all the cars too much.
That happened?
That's the story. That, like, Matthew McConaughey is one of those guys who doesn't wear deodorant. And
but how bad could that guy smell? His natural musk is probably quite nice.
Yeah, but I imagine, like, all day in a car with, like, the lights and everything,
yeah,
they were just like, we can't even fumigate this thing. I mean, did they ever sell cars from commercials to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, like, the one that they used in the commercial?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they just throw it out.
No, but they probably, I don't know, they probably do something else. They probably are like, this will be like a display car or whatever anyway.
Yeah, it belongs at a museum.
Right.
The McConaughey car.
I thought you were going to say the McConaughey Museum.
Well, that too. Have you been there?
But all the cars
it's
he's
Lincoln's
driven.
It's Lincoln's and Bongo's as far as the eye can see.
But yeah, I mean, when somebody like that does those commercials, like, nobody is like, oh, look at him degrading himself. People are like, no, wow, yeah, he does a good job in the commercials. People love commercials now.
Yeah. Hey, when I tune in to see the big game, I'm not watching the game, I'm watching the commercials. So I bought myself one of these 5-year journals.
Yeah.
And what it is it's every day, every page is another day of the year. They go chronologically.
Every page is another day.
And that's
that was the their older commercials.
Yeah, when they had to explain to everybody.
Yeah,
what
they
it
got
was.
Cheryl Crow to come and sing
her own song.
Her own song, but with different words.
Yeah. Every page is a different day.
Well, now you're thinking of when they got Bob Dylan to come in and cover her song for
her parody song
for his second round of commercials after he had
it was a throwback. It was like, remember these vintage commercials?
Yeah. Well, here's a way you've never heard
them
before.
With a Bob Dylan twist.
Yeah.
You've heard Bob Dylan go electric, but never like this.
Right. But have you heard him go parody?
Oh, man. The Christmas album and then the two or three albums of, like, songs made famous by Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
The next step is a Weird Al style.
Right. Like, let's hear what you got, Bob. You know, give us some wacky lyrics to songs we already know and love.
He also, I think, in the 80s did that one where he, like, did, like, old, like, Froggy Went A-Courtin' and stuff, like, old, like, folk songs and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I never like when...
parody is the next...
Yeah.
The next avenue or the next thing for the next dragon for Bob Dylan to slay.
Whenever a band, like when Aerosmith was like, here's like an album of us doing like old blues standards.
Honking on Bobo, you talking about?
Yeah. It's like, nobody wants this, man. Come on.
So every page is a day of the year and it goes chronologically. So January 1st, January 2nd. January 3rd. And it's split.
And then what? What after that?
January 4th.
Okay. And then?
The 5th of January.
And after that?
The 6th day of the first month.
Ah. And so on and so
forth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, and then again, February 1st, February 2nd,
right.
And so on.
All right.
And each page is subdivided into five sections of a few lines each.
Okay.
So you're supposed to just jot down what year it is.
Right.
And the date is up there on top. And then you write a couple lines about like what you did that day, notable things, right? So it's
so
supposed
it's not
to be,
like your thoughts. It's not like a diary.
I mean, it can be whatever you want.
Right.
But I got it for like, hey, I if you ask me what it's we're recording this on Wednesday. If you ask me what I did Sunday,
yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
So
and you plan on in the future being implicated in crimes where you'll need an alibi.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't we all be? What if I'm up for Supreme Court justice?
Isn't it insane? I've always thought it's insane that, like,
people's friggin' diaries and calendars are just like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, he's got a scheduler and he has all this stuff where it's like, he could have just made all that up. He could have just written that in. I'm not talking about the Kavanaugh thing. I'm just talking, like, in general. That's always, like, an ironclad, and, like, in TV shows and movies and stuff, they're always like, now he got his old date book, and on the day the murder happened, he was at the movies.
Yeah, and also, like,
and there's no way that could be faked.
Yeah, like, what kind of maniac, A, keeps a diary like that?
Right.
And B, if, like, they murdered somebody, you would be like, murdered a lady.
Right.
Wasn't at the movie.
At the very least, you surely wouldn't keep that date blank. You would put, did my laundry.
Yeah, went to the movies.
Yeah.
Movies is a tough alibi, though, because then you have to know what happened in the movie. Make sure it's a movie you've seen. Like, I would always, if I murdered you right now, I'd go home and write, Wednesday night. Went to see the Three Amigos.
Right.
And they'll be like, oh, well, what happened in that movie then?
You got to find a movie that's currently in theaters.
It's a delightful romp. Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Chevy Chase. When have you ever heard Martin Short listed first in that movie? I just wanted to do that.
Here's,
give them a thrill.
Here's what you got to do. You got to do it for a movie that it would be believable that you'd see twice 2 days in a row.
So you can go on a spree?
Well, so you can put it, you know, you can put in the calendar, like, I went to see, Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But then to make sure that when they ask you what happened, you immediately go see it the next day. But you put that in the calendar, too, so they can't trip you up in case somebody else saw you at the movie theater.
Right.
But it would have to be a movie that you could be like, oh, yeah, it was so good, I went back to see it the next day. Like,
yeah.
You couldn't do it for a real stinker, because then people would be like, nobody'd see that movie twice in a row. Let's give this guy the chair.
Yeah, and then boom, next thing you know, you're being electrocuted to death.
Yeah.
So I bought one of these things.
Let's give this guy the chair, and I'm not talking about the moving chairs at the 4DX theaters.
Hey, if that's the punishment for a crime, then hey, it's time to do crimes.
If that's
as far
the
as I'm
chair,
concerned.
Then I'm guilty as hell.
So I bought one of these 5-year journals, and I just haven't been writing in it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah. We should talk about meditation at some point.
Yeah. You want to do it now?
Yeah, but I'm still I'm wondering about that question.
Well, you'll have to wait. You'll have to tune in later. Not tune in later. You'll have to stay tuned in.
Who are you getting mad at, me?
Yes. Tim, what do you know about meditation?
Tom, I love meditation.
You do?
I do. Did you not know that about me?
No. I mean, I guess maybe if I had to think about it for more than a second, I'd be like, yeah, I bet Tim is a meditator.
Yeah, I mean, my big problem is the same problem I have with that 5-year journal in that, like,
doing it.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Doing it. 'Cause, like,
100%.
Meditation, all right, for people who don't know, it's just sitting there, right? That's what meditation is?
I mean, it's more than that, but that's the basics.
Yeah. I don't know exactly. Maybe we should have looked up the exact definition of meditation, but everybody knows what meditation is.
Yeah, it's yeah, for the most part. I mean, you can do, like, there are, like, walking meditations and stuff, but it's, like, about, in some way, letting your mind, like, unwind itself, I guess, maybe? Calming your mind? Would that be a general?
Yeah, I would say it's more accurately the action or practice of meditating.
Tim, you'd have to read that to come up with that kind of definition.
Hmm?
Huh? And then what is meditating?
I'm sorry?
What is meditating?
It's like clearing your mind and stuff.
Yeah.
Tom, so do you look, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Everything, like, when you're a kid,
uh-huh.
Kids are
dumb. Everything's meditation.
No, nothing's meditation. It's all cartoons and sugary cereal, am I right?
Those were the days.
But you think of meditation as like you're going to go into like this trance, right?
Yeah, and you're just going to like home.
Yeah, and you're going to like your mind is just going to like go to this higher plane, right?
Yeah.
And one time I went to a yoga class. I went to a hot yoga class, Tom.
Yeah.
And at the end we had to meditate and I was like, "Okay, here we go. Before I go throw up in the parking lot," is what I did. I'm going to sit here and meditate.
Why did you go to the parking lot? Why didn't you go to the bathroom?
Because I didn't know I was going to throw up until I was walking to my car. And I was like,
oh, I thought you were saying you did the hot yoga, went to the parking lot, threw up, went back for the meditation.
No. I went and struggled through the Bikram yoga.
Yeah, hot yoga.
Then we meditated. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go home. And then I got a blast of cold air out there, and I think my body just went into shock. Yeah. I just puked everywhere in the parking lot. Like, and then I went back 3 days later, and the same thing happened.
Yeah, well, in both times, your body was like, hey, let's teach this asshole not to do this to us.
Yeah.
What's the thing he hates? Throwing up. All right, send the signal.
So I was so bummed, because at the end you meditate, and I was like, all I did was just sit quietly in the room with my eyes closed, and nothing happened. I thought I was gonna like be like feel like I was floating and like have
well,
all
and
the
especially
answers.
After that kind of like physical exertion, probably you were like,
yeah,
like oh, I'm about to be freed of my earthly shackles.
But also, if that's all it took to like have like a head trip or something.
Right. If that's all it took to throw up.
No. Throwing up was definitely the heat and the change of temperature and the fact that I was not good at yoga. But I was expecting like meditation to be a thing where it's like, oh, it'll feel great. It's like
it'll feel great. I'll leave here
enlightened. Why wouldn't everybody do it all the time if it was just like, oh, you feel amazing.
Yeah.
It's a practice, Tom. It's something that you only really see benefit from if you do it on a regular basis, preferably every day, maybe multiple times a day, Tom.
And that's the only way you can get to Carnegie Hall as well.
For the meditation summit
Practice, Tim.
Yeah, the meditation practice. They're having a summit at Carnegie
Hall.
Oh,
okay. Well, so then
Yogi's flying in, Tom.
Like without a plane? Like just cross-legged, like across the ocean?
No, that's offensive.
It's not offensive. Some people can levitate, Tim.
I don't know if that's true.
We had I don't know if you ever had her, but I had a teacher in high school that claimed she saw somebody levitate.
I never had that teacher, but I heard the story.
Yeah.
And that made me not want to have the teacher.
This teacher, she was
it's like when a five-year-old tells you they saw Santa Claus in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve. It's like, oh, all right. This has gone too far.
Well, so this teacher, she was a social studies teacher, and she would go on like trips every summer. Like that was how she spent her summers.
Take you that long to think of the word trips?
Because trips does not fully explain it, because she would go on, you know, like 2.5 month, 3 month, like journeys.
Okay.
To like, and you know, it's not like she went to, you know, freaking St. Petersburg in Florida or whatever and just laid on a beach.
She went to St. Petersburg in Russia.
Yeah. She would go to exotic locales throughout the world. And then come back with tales. And yeah, I distinctly remember her coming back.
Sonic's friend?
I just said, oh, God, I wish.
Hey, look who I caught in a cage.
Miles Tails Prowler.
She would go on these trips.
She would go on these trips.
Come back with tails.
And then she'd be like, if I get stuck on a lower platform, check out what he can do. And he would spin his tails around and start helicoptering.
No, that's not what she said.
And then she would hold his hands, and he would lift her up onto the ledge she had missed.
This story is as suspect as her actual story, Tom.
No, she came back from India and was telling us about how she saw like a yogi or whatever meditate so hard that he levitated. And I swear to God, like, the next three classes were just like an inquisition of her. Just, you know, all the teenagers being like.
It's like the principal and superintendent called in to, like,
no,
fire her.
No, it was nothing like that. And I don't know why she kept entertaining our questions, because our questions were basically
they were
like,
not in good faith.
No, and they were just like, I have a question. No, you didn't.
Yeah, that's definitely a bad faith question.
Yeah, and then she'd be like, no, I did. We'd be like, I have a follow-up. No. No, you didn't.
You liar.
Yeah, and we would ask, like, follow-up. I mean, we would
You should have asked if she had taken drugs.
That was asked. Oh. We were like, oh, did, like, they give you something? They slip you something? She'd be like, no. Be like, did you, like, push the guy to see if, you know, he would still float? No. Are you sure you saw this? Yes. No, you didn't. Although, have you ever seen, like, I wish I could go back and continue the line of questioning. Because you ever see the people that do it in places like India for, like, you know, like, it's like a street performer thing where they get tips. But, like, they have their hand resting on a cane.
Oh, yeah.
But then the cane has, like, a bar running along their sleeve. And they're, like, they're just sitting on an attached seat. Like, that's cool. I mean, that's magic.
Not just in India. I saw that one time in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, wow. It's gone that, it's come that far.
Yeah, to the mouse house.
And that's fine. That's cool. It's a magic trick. But, yeah. Like, that's not.
Look, I don't know. I'm not here. The one thing. I want to say is that I know there's a lot of religious, practice that has to do with meditation. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, we're
and
not
I'm
talking
not
about
here,
that.
I'm
side.
Not here to.
I mean, I would argue like
rain on anybody or to crap on anybody's beliefs. Or
oh,
whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would argue that like pretty much every mainstream religion has some kind of meditative practice. Even things like Catholicism, like the repetition of prayers and stuff, like that's a type of meditation.
Man.
They might not call it that, but it is.
Doing the rosary every day?
Or doing it like 100 times because you sinned?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that.
But
that's why I don't sin. I'm a good boy.
But I could see how, if you had to do that like 100 times, you're putting yourself into a meditative trance kind
of. I've been,
if you do it enough times, God appears and tells you, you've been bad.
Squarespace. Tom, you know about Squarespace. We use them.
Yeah.
So many people use them. Look, there are so many things you could do with Squarespace. You can create a beautiful website to turn your cool idea into a new website. And showcase your work, blog, or publish content, sell products and services of all kinds, promote your physical or online business, announce an upcoming event or special project, and more. Tom, we use Squarespace between the two of us for most of those things.
Yeah,
neither of us is really blogging all that much.
I blogged today.
Really?
Yeah, how dare you?
Okay. We got a
I was going to say, like,
got a regular Ariana Huffington over here.
Yeah. No, I've been jumping back into my website because I got a new book coming out next month. And
this is a Squarespace ad. I'm not a Tom
I know,
Reynolds
but I'm
ad.
Just saying, I blogged about it, and I was reminded of how easy it is to blog, and I should redesign my website while I'm in here.
Well,
and I was like, well, that's going to be like a big to-do. But then not a big to-do at all. Very easy.
Yeah, Tom, you can think it, dream it, make it with Squarespace. You did all those things today.
I did.
Squarespace gives you all these things, Tom. Beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell anything online. A whole bunch of other stuff. Go check them out. 24/7 award-winning customer support,
yeah.
Tom.
Very easy to swap out the templates, I can tell you from experience.
Yeah. Nothing to patch or upgrade ever.
No.
All that kind of stuff. You know. Look, get on with Squarespace. Just friggin' do
You'd
it.
You'd be insane to go anywhere else.
Yeah. Go to squarespace.com/guide for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code GUIDE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. Think it, dream it, make it with Squarespace. Welcome back to half of the audience that remains after the first segment.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you meditate.
Tim, why'd you do that like there's a camera crew here?
What do you mean?
You did that very much like a TV show.
Like, yeah.
Welcome back.
Professional operation, Tom.
All right.
What is the point of this if we're not eventually going to turn this into a late night talk show on NBC at 11:30 p.m.?
Well, I don't know why we put such strict rules about the audience remaining completely silent if you're still going to treat it like there's not a few hundred people watching.
Voices on my podcast.
That's true.
Do you do meditation?
Once again, you're reading off your iPad like this. What is your iPad even on? Or are you just miming?
I have notes, Tom.
Do you do meditation?
Do you?
I do, Tim. I mean, you know, I
regularly.
Not as I have, and I actually want to get back into a more regular practice.
Same. It's tough, though.
It is tough. And it's tough because it's one of those things. It's like a lot of things that are good for you, like eating right or taking vitamins or something, where it takes a while for you to see results. And by the time you're seeing those results, you aren't chalking them up to the good things, the good habits you've been doing. And you're like, oh, I just naturally am like, good now. I don't have to brush my teeth every day. Look at how white my teeth are.
Exactly.
They're fine now. And that's the
problem solved.
Problem solved. And like, yeah, it's not even a conscious thing of like, oh, I don't think that was what did it. But you just think like, oh, I'm in good shape now. I don't need to continue doing, whatever healthy practice I've been doing.
Right. But, I understand. Like, I rarely even get to that point. Like, I don't know. I don't do it consistently long enough to
see any kind of benefits?
No, not to see any kind of benefits, because I do see benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seems like cycles, right, of a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then off. Also, I live in a one-bedroom apartment with my wife. And she knows that I like to meditate, and she knows that I try to get into like a daily practice of it. And so like if I say like, all right, I'm gonna go in the bedroom, you stay in the living room, like don't barge in while I meditate. Like I'm still afraid that she's gonna like barge in and be like, loser, you're just sitting in a room, quiet. Not even doing anything, not even looking at your phone. Like, I'm still afraid that, like, I'm going to get, like, laughed at.
Well, first off, it sounds like you have a great marriage. And second off, yeah, I guess, yeah, that wouldn't be conducive to relaxing.
But also, like, she would never do that.
Right.
And
yeah.
Also, like, she knows what I'm doing in there. And it's not like I'm, like, trying to impress her, like, no, I'm lifting weights in there. It's like, oh, I'm going to go sit in a chair and be quiet. And
right. Then, whenever you lift weights, you do them in front of your wife so she can be impressed.
Yeah. And
you
that's
would
most
never do
of the
it
time
in private.
We're together. Yeah. So anyway, Tom, there are different kinds of meditation. There's a popular one right now.
Uh-huh.
It's part of the open monitoring school. Mindfulness, Tom.
Yeah, so I told you earlier, like, I don't completely understand what mindful, like, I on a general level understand what it is, but I don't know how you would sit, like, what the steps are to do it.
Right, so mindfulness is a mental state achieved by focusing one's awareness on the present moment. It's about being present where you are, while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations used as a therapeutic
even
technique.
Farts?
Even farts, Tom.
Especially farts.
No. Not like farts, it's probably like number 6 on the list.
Oh, come on.
But yeah, so it's essentially the way
you're being mindful, you're thinking like, mind the gap, mind my manners, mind over matter.
Yeah. You got any more, Tom? Three is where you cap at?
No, that's a rule of three.
Yeah.
I could do more, but it wouldn't be as funny.
No, when I did this,
uh-huh.
I mean, this is all about like not letting people are either fretting about what happened in the past or
worrying about the future.
Yeah. And this is just like,
well, that's what they say, like anxiety and depression are the same thing. That depression's just the past, thinking about the past. Anxiety's like depression about the future,
right? And what mindfulness is kind of saying.
Right, that has nothing to do with
No, yeah, that's right. I think that's like kind of quackery what you just said, but hey, who knows?
Well, Tim, I ain't go to 7 years of medical school to be called a quack.
I thought you were going to say that you just didn't go to 7 years of medical school.
No, I didn't go to 7 years of medical school, and I will not be called a quack.
Fair. But mindfulness is just like, hey, yeah, depression or anxiety or whatever, hey, stop thinking about all that.
Yeah.
And which are, that's not to minimize people.
No, like, it's very easy to do. Hey, if you're depressed, just stop thinking about
it. Come on, man. What's your problem? ever try smiling?
Yeah.
Ever try being happy all the time?
Ever try not being anxious? Idiot.
No, but it's what they're saying is like, be present in the moment. Yeah, there you go. And to do that, like, takes some work, takes some concentration.
Yeah. And I would imagine it takes some practice.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do it right away.
And it's sitting there, and you know what a helpful thing is? Doing that thing where you go either up or down your body and
make the xylophone sound, like
like
all your bones are being hit by mallets.
Like in a cartoon?
Yeah.
No. This is more in your mind, Tom. Mindfulness.
You don't know that it's not true in real life.
No, it's like
you've never
there
seen
and
a real
like,
skeleton
be okay, hit by a xylophone. I'm thinking hammer. About, I'm feeling my toes right now.
Yeah.
And you're not touching your toes with your hand.
Right.
You're thinking, and then you go like,
you're
okay, and now the balls them. Of my feet. Uh-huh. And now the heel, and like, and just focusing on how they feel at that
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, which like you normally don't do day to day. You're not like, oh, that's how like that's how my knees
yeah.
feel.
And it really focuses you to how you feel. And then once you're done with that, you like feel like try to feel your weight in the chair, which Tom is significant for you from what I understood.
For the most part, once I would get done with this, it would be like, oh, the chair's shattered into splinters underneath me.
Once you start thinking about it, it's like the coyote going off the cliff.
No,
he can
it's
run
more
until
like
he starts
I,
thinking about it.
Like I just get too focused in the mindfulness, and I don't notice that the chair is shattered into splinters beneath me.
How often does this happen to you, Tom?
Yeah, it's never happened to me.
So that's a way.
Tim, I can't even tell you, like jokes like that. How many times? Like, I've met people after live shows, and they're like, oh, like, I thought you were, like, a real big fat guy because of what Tim said. I thought you were like, you know,
maybe
like
these
500
people should
pounds.
Try friggin' Googling once in a while.
Yeah. Anyway. You can Google. There are multiple fully nude photos of me online.
Yeah, from your Playgirl spread, right?
Yeah.
On a bearskin
rug.
You
can see my full physique.
Nice. No, so that's kind of, it's forcing you into the moment, right?
Yeah.
And then you start to, you feel the weight of yourself in the chair, and then you, like, just try to, like, take notice of your surroundings, but, like, still always, I think the one constant from all the meditation techniques that I've ever done is, like, if a thought ever enters your head that's, like, not related to, like, the meditation practice.
Scream at it.
You just go, get the fuck out of here.
Hey, I'm meditating
hey,
over here.
I'm trying to meditate. Quiet down. And you acknowledge it, and then you let it go. And I think that's kind of the thing with mindfulness. It's like once you start thinking about, oh, I have this thing, you go, all right, I'm thinking this thought.
And then
get out of here.
You give it
right
a,
now.
You give it a little chef's kiss, and
you
send it
French
on its way.
French kiss the burrito and
on your way,
send it
little
out
fella.
To the customer. And then you start to notice the sounds around you.
Mm-hmm.
And not even attach any meaning to them, but just right. kind of like a
just like a like Daredevil, like you get sonar.
Exactly like
you can
Daredevil.
See with your hearing.
In all the old texts, they talk about Daredevil.
Yeah.
The Ben Affleck one, though.
Right.
And that's mindfulness, and it works, and tech bros have monetized that to the point where it's meaningless and shitty, and everything is mindfulness, and they're selling you things that are supposed to calm you, but really are just subscription services that don't help you.
You're talking about apps.
Talking about apps, baby.
You're talking about, hey, there's an app for that.
Yeah, and I understand an app could be helpful for people, especially to
start
like,
out.
Yeah, and to like develop a practice and a habit and everything. But like, be careful, like who you're giving your money to. Like these people are taking like often ancient or like meaningful practices,
right?
And just like broifying them and bringing them to the masses to make like a unicorn company.
Right.
I don't like these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not... Hey, maybe they should practice what they preach.
And
maybe
what?
They should be mindful of who they're... How they're trying to make money.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean...
There's Baldy that runs Headspace.
Jeff Bezos?
No.
There's another
Baldy.
One?
Yeah, there's another Baldy.
Oh. You think he shaved his head? Because that seems like oh, look at me, I'm bald like a monk.
Probably.
That makes me, you'll buy this more.
Yeah. What he does is he takes a lot of the Buddhist teachings
mm-hmm.
and strips them of...
Religion.
Anything that he thinks might be upsetting to people. So a lot of it is like accepting like that like... Life is made up of a lot of suffering, right?
Right.
But, like, he doesn't like to say the word suffering.
Yeah, nobody's going to buy a subscription where they're talking about suffering.
Yeah, or, like, you know, a lot of it is, like, thinking about, like, your ultimate death and, like, to be like, hey, like, sand through an hourglass or whatever. Like, these
so
are
wait,
the days
he,
of our...
He just quotes the days of our lives?
No, but, like,
that's even
a lot
more
of the
egregious.
Teaching is, like, how fleeting... Everything is
right. Yeah, like a lot of from my understanding, which is limited, but like a lot of Buddhist teaching is mostly like, hey, right now doesn't matter, like, you know, this isn't what's important,
like you'll be dust one day.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
right.
And this Baldy comes in and he's like, well, I'm trying to get people to spend $9.99 a month. I'm not going to tell them they're going to die one day.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them subscribe to my app, you'll live forever.
Yeah. And then all these people have subscribed to Headspace just to hear a bald guy tell them they're invincible now.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tom, you ready to ask that question yet?
No, not yet, Tim. Right.
There's another
you
type.
You haven't suffered enough yet.
There's another type of meditation, Tom.
Yeah, well, there are lots, but popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones that, look, this is not going to be comprehensive.
Right.
This is part one of 16,
yeah.
17,000. Focused attention, and that's when you pay attention to the breath.
Yeah.
Or a mantra.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Are you leading me into talking about what I do?
It's seamless. This is why we don't have our NBC late night talk show yet.
You can edit all this out. Yeah. So I practice.
You don't point out the segue.
Well, because I've never heard it talked
about.
You
ever see
that
like
way. I've never heard.
Do you think friggin' Jimmy Fallon is asking Tom Cruise like, so I hear you went on an interesting vacation.
You
recently.
Want me to tell the vacation story? Well, because I've never heard of it like focused breath has nothing to do with breath.
And focus attention.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. So
no, it's either you focus on the breath or instead of like mindfulness, which is
thinking
like,
about like everything that's going on. It's
right.
Different.
This is focusing on a mantra or just focusing on your breath. It's focusing your attention.
Yes.
On a single thing.
Right.
That allows your brain to do things, I guess.
So I do transcendental meditation.
Ooh, you must be rich.
I was when I took the class. And then the class bankrupted me.
Did you meet the Maharishi?
No, Timmy's dead.
Yeah, but
but once you meditated, then you met him.
Yeah.
No, I didn't meet him.
You know the Beatles song "Sexy Sadie"?
It's about the Maharishi.
Yeah, the original lyrics were instead of "Sexy Sadie," it said "Maharishi."
Is that true?
Yeah. It was after the Beatles were in India, famously,
right.
When they were like writing the White Album.
Yeah,
pretty much.
But then
John Lennon
got real mad at him.
Yeah, and he left. And the lyrics are "Sexy Sadie, what have you done? You made a fool of everyone. You'll get yours yet. Mm-hmm. However big you think you are," like it's all just kind of like against the Maharishi. And then George came back and was like, "John,
we all like the Maharishi.
I'd like you not to write a song about the Maharishi that says bad things about him."
Yeah.
And he's like, "All right, I'll make it about a sexy lady."
All right, that's
he
one.
Rubbed his hands together and then they high-fived.
Another hit for the Beatle Boys.
Another sexy song about a sexy dame from the Beatle Boys.
So I do transcendental. I took the class. I forget how much the class. It was $700. So it was expensive.
So what? This is kind of. Has long been in vogue with the celeb type.
Hey,
right?
Ever since the Beatles, yeah. And I fancy myself a celeb type. I thought this would be a great way to network with other celebs.
David Lynch is a big advocate. He
David
started
Lynch,
a foundation about it.
Jerry Seinfeld is a big advocate of it. Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Like a decent amount of people you wouldn't think.
Pretty much every single successful person, either not transcendental meditation necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but every single successful person claims to at least meditate,
right? But and transcendental meditation, a lot of people.
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, I didn't know him. I was going to say Tom Bergeron.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got to get up.
Well, I got to do this. Actually, I went to like a refresher course somewhat recently with the guy that taught. Oh, who the hell did he teach? Somebody famous. I forget who. He name dropped it, and I was like, oh. But anyway.
David Lynch, Clint Eastwood, Paul McCartney, Marty. Martin Scorsese,
mm-hmm.
Howard Stern, Ringo Starr, Jen Aniston,
nice,
Cameron Diaz, Russell Simmons, Dr. Oz,
mm-hmm.
Naomi Watts, Jim Carrey. This is a regular who's who of famous people.
Where's my name on that list?
Judy Greer. Right between Judy Greer and Shirley MacLaine, right? Sure enough,
oh, wow.
Tom Reynolds.
All right. Well, all right. Well, I can't complain then.
Yeah. Suzanne Steinbaum.
I don't know who that is.
Me neither. Mike Love. You gotta have to quit.
Well,
Tom.
All right.
All right, sorry. Oh, Billy Gibbons. Nice. Now that's a shock.
Why?
I didn't think he'd be like, I'm not gonna sit down and listen to something.
I mean, I think it's only like a 3 or 4 day course, something like that.
Yeah, no, but I just feel like he'd be like, I'm not gonna do that touchy feely stuff. I don't know what Billy
Gibbons. Nobody touched me. I didn't touch anybody else either, for that matter.
Ooh, your hero, Mario Batali.
Yeah. He's not the BAM guy. That's Emerald.
Yeah. Andy Kaufman. George Stephanopoulos. Well, I'm going to stop naming famous people now.
Yeah, geez, Tim. Enough of the name dropping.
Yeah.
So I did this. I took the first, I started it a few years ago. You go to like 3 or 4. So it's,
this was in downtown Manhattan
in near Wall Street with stockbrokers.
Nice.
So the controversial thing about this is that it is expensive.
Right.
However, you are taught it like, in a nice place, at least where I went. And like, once you pay, that's it for life. Like you can always go back to refresher courses. I could go to any of these centers around the world and be like, hey, I want to take a room to go meditate in. And
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. So, like, I kind of get it because it's expensive, but, like, they've got a lot of overhead. And they, like, pay their teachers a fair wage, apparently.
As far as you know.
They said that they pay their teachers along the guidelines of, like, what a public school teacher in that area would be paid.
Oh, okay. So not well, probably.
Not well, but like not, you know, below the poverty
right.
line,
uh-huh.
Except probably in some places. but all the teachers that I met have been teaching for like years and years. So
right.
It seemed like they were doing all right. So in that way, like I was like, all right, this is fine. And I will say so. And their other big thing is that they're pretty secretive about like you have to kind of like take an oath. Be like, hey, I'm not going to tell people how this is all done.
Right.
Which I was skeptical about. However, I've since understood that it's like you kind of need somebody to teach you. It's not hard. It's very simple, but you need like it's not even like teaching. It's almost like coaching. Like you need feedback as you're doing it. Like you need to do it and then talk to somebody who's experienced with it and be like, hey, this is what happened. This is what was hard about it. And then they'll be like, oh, all right, here's what
you're
need to do.
You're doing it wrong, you idiot.
No, that's what you would get if
Money
you...
Money, learn how to fucking think.
That's what you would get if you paid people poorly.
Yeah.
Like, we have a friend that I won't name that he took the class and he's like, oh, yeah, and I taught all my friends how to do it. And, like, that actually kind of pissed me off a little bit because I was like, well, you don't... Like, just because somebody taught you doesn't mean you know how to teach people to do this.
Yeah.
But anyway, the way to
who
do
it. Who was it? This is bothering me.
Oh, I'll tell you. I don't want to name names.
Okay.
It was Mike Love. Yeah, no, Mike Love's been going around teaching people on the side. And it's not so much
your
that
mantra is Aruba.
Bahama. Boy, I wish. That'd be easier to remember. So here's, this isn't giving away any secrets. Here's what it is. They give you a mantra, and this part is bullshit because they tell you, like, we're going to give you your mantra, and this is unique to you, and it's secret. It's not. You can Google it. and you can see like, oh, if you're a man between like these ages and you have like this type of job, this is the mantra that they're going to give you.
Right.
I've verified that with the mantra I was given. And it's like, all right, yeah, that part's bullshit. And other people that do this type of what you were saying, like focus meditation, like they're like, oh, yeah, the mantra, it just needs to be something meaningless. Like right. It shouldn't be like boat, because if you just repeat boat, you're going to think about boats. It needs to be something
meaningless. I'm always thinking about boats, Me Tom. Too. I'm a seafaring man.
I'm just thinking about the next boat I'm going to buy. But basically what it is he sits.
I think it's going to be a clipper in my case.
Explain what a clipper is,
it's
Tim.
A boat. Buoyant.
I don't think you've thought of this through.
In the
Tim.
Water. What?
I think it's a kind of sailboat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a boat, Tom, as I said earlier. Calm down.
So you get your mantra, and basically what you do is you sit for 20 minutes, and you just repeat the mantra in your mind. And
that's
you,
different. Normally every morning you wake up and you shit for 20 minutes.
I didn't say it was in the morning. Putting words in my mouth. You just sit and you think the mantra over and over and you focus on the mantra. And similar to what you were saying, like thoughts will come into your head and don't push them out. You let them in, but then you let them go and yeah. You just focus on the mantra.
Come back to the mantra.
And like you're not thinking about your breath. And in fact, you shouldn't time your breath to the mantra. Like you shouldn't, like if my mantra was Tim, I shouldn't be like Tim. Tim.
That would be more bad. Like Tim.
Dude, on the outbreath?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've since read, you know, other things about this type of meditation that, you know, kind of take some of the mysticism or whatever out of it.
Yeah, there's a book, right?
Yeah, there's. I have it right here. It's called The Relaxation Response. It's from the 70s by Herbert Benson, M.D.
Herbert Benson?
And with Miriam Z. Clipper. Clipper with a K.
Hmm.
The classic mind-body approach that has helped millions conquer the harmful effects of stress. I bought this on Amazon. It was like, I don't know, like $5 or something. And this is, I think, probably like a suitable replacement for going and taking the class. It's the same thing. But it's, and I've read scientific stuff about it. Basically, it's like self-hypnosis. Like you're hypnotizing yourself. And by doing that, you're allowing, and they've done like MRI studies with like what's going on with your brain. You're kind of like, telling your what your prefrontal cortex, the mm-hmm. the executive,
yeah, I know it well.
You're kind of telling it like, hey, go take a coffee break, and yeah. Like I'm just gonna let the brain kind of like defragment. Remember defragmenting
yeah,
your
defrag,
hard drive?
Get rid of all the space between
yeah,
all the stuff.
It's like I'm just gonna let this go offline for a little bit. It's gonna be focused on this dumb word I'm repeating. It's gonna be too focused on that to think about anything else.
Yeah.
And the rest of your brain, you're just kinda gonna be like, hey, you guys use this 20 minutes, just kinda like reshuffle yourself. Maybe like, you know, clean house a little bit.
Yeah. I think in this day and age, even just sitting, even if you're not, like, if you're sitting without stimulus.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
hugely helpful.
Because we just don't. This morning I woke up, Tom. Can I tell you something real quick?
Yeah.
I usually plug my phone in before I go to bed.
Right.
I forgot to.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the real thing is, I thought it was plugged in, but it wasn't. Anyway.
I have a wireless charger. I just put it down on
well,
that.
Well, Tom, we're all very impressed.
Well, it's just one less step.
And I woke up and my phone was dead.
Uh-huh.
And like I woke up, it was like 6 a.m. and I was like, oh shit, I can't look at Twitter. And like I just got up and just like had to just walk around and like shower and like do my normal
yeah.
thing. And I was like,
do the shit you actually have to do.
Yeah. And like I was ready. Because there was something wrong with my phone where, like, when I plugged it in, it still wasn't turning on for a while.
Yeah, it took a little bit.
Yeah. So, like, I was ready a full, like, 45 minutes earlier than normal because, like, I just, like, did all the stuff.
Didn't have distractions.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, this is how, like, people used to be.
Right.
In life. Like, they just, like, did the shit they
Not
needed to do.
Not even people. This is how you used to be.
Yeah.
Like, less than a decade ago.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I just... did the stuff that I needed to do, and then I like had a little bit of time to like think or so like I think it forcing yourself to get into a practice of just like being like, all right, I'm not gonna look at anything, I'm not gonna do anything, my brain is just gonna like be the way that like it's really should be like 90% of the time.
No, and that's what, so the two things I like about transcendental meditation is like, I don't know if I could do mindful meditation. I think I would get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would take a lot of effort for me. Whereas this is easy because you just have the mantra. Like if you're getting distracted, just focus back on the mantra and you're back at it. So that's one. I forget what the second one was. The second one was how, it helps my memory. I honestly can't remember what the second one was. Shit. Something along those lines.
You should. Are you able to focus more?
Yes.
Are you less stressed when you do it?
Yeah. Like,
And people will be like, eh, you know what? That's all in your head. Like, you're not less stressed. But guess what? The catch 22 of that is, if
stress is also in your head.
Exactly. So like,
oh, 100%. Like,
if it is just a placebo, well then great, cuz like it's not medicine, so like the placebo effects is the best you can hope for.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of it is placebo. I think a lot of it is, oh, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think it's kind of similar to like, not to be like all Joe Rogan for a minute, but like when we were hunter gatherers.
All right.
Where like human beings had like a long time, I think, where it was like, oh, I'm just going to sit on this rock and wait for like something to come along for me to throw a spear at so I can eat it. Where and that was like good for our brains to just kind of like, well, I have to keep somewhat of a focus on this. I can't fall asleep,
right.
But I'm not thinking about anything else right now. I'm just kind of, it's not zoning out, but it's not zoning out.
Right.
It's a weird, you're focused, but you're also zoning out. And for me, at least, I found that it's really nice. And I've had like a few, it's a weird, they're also real big on like, oh, there's no right or wrong way to do it. And every experience is going to be better, and don't classify. Like, especially while you're doing it, don't be like, oh, this is not going well or this is going good. However, like I've had some meditations where like I come out of it, I'm like, whoa, that was weird. Like crazy stuff started happening in there.
Yeah. You like your body changed.
Yeah, I grew a foot. No, not that, but almost like what I would imagine like hallucinogenic drugs would be like, where it's like, oh, that was like I can't even describe what that was like, but I was kind of not out of my body, more like in it for the first time.
I do a ripoff of that called NSR, Natural Stress Relief Meditation. And you can Google that.
Uh-huh.
Instead of like $700 to $1,000, I think it's $25, and it's online. And it's a couple people who used to be teachers, I believe.
Right, and like broke off.
Of transcendental meditation. And the story that is not the official story on their website is that like they thought like they shouldn't be charging that much for it.
Right, yeah.
But the other thing is, like, they're like, oh, we found out a better way to do this, like a more effective way. And really the main difference, and I think they had to do this for legal reasons, all the transcendental meditation mantras that they give out are two syllables. Can you confirm that?
Mine is, at least, yes.
Yeah. And
perhaps I said too much.
The NSR mantras are one
five
syllable.
Five syllables.
No, just one. which you would think would be like, oh no, we'll do it three. We'll one up them.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like,
but they were thinking 6 minute abs, 5 minute abs.
Right. And the other thing is like, TM says do it like 20 minutes twice a day.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, do it 15 minutes twice a day.
Okay.
So I think it's pretty much the same thing. You don't get the one-on-one training.
Right.
But they give you an MP3 once you sign up. to like first guide you into it and then give you the mantra.
Yeah.
But it's also very lo-fi, right? And then they're just like, if you want to give this as a gift to somebody,
don't.
Like, have them do it. And I think it's because like, they're like, that way you'll know they'll be, like, just recommend it to them. And if they pay the nominal fee,
right,
you know they'll be dedicated to it. And if they're not, but it's just because I think they only have one MP3 and everybody has the same mantra.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Right? And they don't want anybody.
I think that's why in TM they're also like, don't tell anybody your mantra, because they don't want you to find out like half the class that you're in has the same mantra.
But I like that way more than any of the mindfulness meditation I've done.
Oh, yeah,
or even the ones where you the similar but where you focus on the breath.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, and I know this is dumb as shit, but for me personally, I knew that paying a lot of money would mean that I would do it.
Right.
And like, I don't think that they ever claim that, but I've read other people say like, yeah, and that's also what I thought about, like, with our friend who was like, no, I teach people it. I want to be like, right, and how many people do you know that you've given this 10-minute crash course, like, do this twice a day every day?
Yeah, exactly.
As a result, like, and again, I did, like, and I have gone back for refresher courses, which are free. You can just go back and be like, I forgot how to do this, or I need some help. However, like I said, this book that I'm holding, I don't know why I keep picking up when I refer to it. Nobody can see us.
Practicing for the talk show.
The relaxation response is the same thing. So if you're the kind of person that isn't dumb like me and will do stuff without having to have some kind of financial stake in it, you can buy the book and it'll teach you the same kind of thing. But I think the idea of like a mantra-based meditation, at least for me, that's what works.
Dude, distracts my brain.
Well, look, man. Hey, we're getting very Joe Rogan in this episode.
I come out of the meditation sessions that I do.
Hard as a rock.
No, I feel like kinder. Like I remember.
So I guess you don't do it before the podcast.
No, I don't actually. Because I want
to
be wound up.
I make a point not to.
No, but like, I think another thing that gets lost in the whole meditation craze, the bro meditation craze, where it's just like, you can be so much more productive.
Oh yeah, I hate that shit.
And I think it's mostly, it should be about like becoming
like
better,
happier, and
happier, and like kinder and
100%.
And I think it can do that because like it kind of resets you a little bit. It calms you down, especially now, especially here where we are in freaking America right now, where everybody's at. Like I came out of one of those sessions and felt like so relaxed. And this was the beginning of 2017. And I was like, I was getting into fights with people on Facebook about like politics and stuff. And I just remember being like, all right, I'm going to call this one person that I got into a fight with on Facebook and like have a real conversation with them about like, you know, how we're like friends in real life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to quit Facebook.
Right.
And like, it was like, that's all. Like, I was calm enough and like thinking clear enough. And like, I never would have, like, I don't know. I think it's a way to like be better and like figure out how to like be positive rather than succumb to all the negativity that is encompassing all the world.
I was gonna say I've heard and not like testimonials from any, you know, people hawking some type of meditation thing, just like pure like people who are like, yeah, I did whatever type of meditation and it helped, where they say like, yeah, I actually like didn't think it was really making a difference. And then I like mentioned that to my wife or husband. They were like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, no, you're like 10 times more bearable to be around than you were 6 months ago. Like it's 100%. And I think that's what you're kind of talking about, where it's like, yeah, you kind of don't have those like quick fire reactions to things.
Yeah.
Like you're almost able to like step back a little bit and be like, no, is that how I want to respond to this? Like,
yeah.
Like, do I want to have a bad faith response to something that somebody I care about just said to me? Or do I want to be like, oh no, I know this person's well-meaning. Let me not bite their head off.
Yeah. I think everybody just needs to calm the fuck down. Yeah. And I think this is an effective way, at least for me,
yeah,
to calm the F down.
Right. And if it doesn't work, there's always Scientology.
If you like the show, do the Facebook thing. I don't know how to do that, Tom. Tell them. Well, I quit Facebook.
I know.
I'm great.
Oh, boy.
I meditated on it.
Yeah.
I prayed on it. And I don't know.
Quit Facebook. He doesn't have a TV.
I watch so much TV, Tom. I have a TV, and I'm so proud of my home theater setup right now, Tom. I got a 4K TV. I got one of those Sonos sound bases.
Yeah.
I'm getting another. So I have these two. So I'm gonna get surround sound. It's gonna be great. I fucking love TV. And how dare you say that I would ever say I don't own a TV? I watch it all the time.
Facebook,
every day.
Facebook.com/completeguide. You can follow us on Twitter @completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
Follow me @YourPalTim.
You can check out our Reddit, reddit.com/r/TCGTE. You can also support our show by supporting our sponsors and checking out TCGTE.com/Amazon for your Amazon shopping, where we get a cut of a kickback. And TCGT.com/pledge for our Patreon, where we are doing our new show, Books the Podcast. It's going great. We're reading The Great Gatsby, or Tim is. He's telling me about it. I'm riveted. And you can also, you get access to our back catalog of a bunch of other mini shows. But Books the Podcast is going very well, I think. I like it a lot.
Swimmingly, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear the next chapter.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot about the Jazz Age, Tom.
Boy, I've been dying to learn more about the Jazz Age. I'm not as excited anymore. TCGT.com/pledge. Tim, let me ask you the question.
It's time.
Under what circumstances would you believe me if I came to you and told you I was in a Groundhog Day situation? Like, what would it take to convince you?
This is a great question.
Right? If I came to you, I was like, Tim.
That you were living the same day over
like,
and
Tim,
over again.
I'm living the same day over and over again.
You need to predict something.
Just how big of a thing, and just one?
I don't know you to be...
Look, I don't know you very well.
...overly sincere.
Right.
Right, so if you came to me seriously... And also, I know you're not some Clooney running around trying to pull pranks
right,
all the time.
Yeah.
So if I could judge that you
so
were
being
sincere...
So are you telling me you would just take me at my word?
No, and if you predicted something, like... If you were like, horn's going to honk, and then point, and then a horn honks.
Just a horn honk.
Yeah, because
so
what the fuck?
Like, I would just have to get one other person to honk a
horn.
Here's
the thing. I know you're not a prankster.
Yeah.
I know you hate to be pranked. I know that you...
I'm not real interested in pranking others.
And also, you're too late. You're not going to get one other person involved in this.
Wow, what a crazy low bar.
Yeah, what? We're friends, Tom. If you tell me something, I'm gonna take you at your word.
Well,
why would you be trying to deceive me about this?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's not, like, I'm sure if I really think it through, there's some way I could benefit by tricking you out of this. But yeah, you're right. Like, in the short term, it's like, I don't know, why would you?
And what are you going to, is it a long con? You're going to pull a long con on me, your friend of 30 years?
Yeah, but I mean, under what circumstances, we haven't been friends for 30 years. Don't exaggerate.
20 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, 22 years, maybe.
But
someday it'll be 30 years.
Maybe. It depends on how this prank I'm planning goes. So under no circumstances would you like try and have me committed?
No, I don't think so.
All right. What if I was like, a horn's going to honk, and it didn't? Then you would. You call 911 and get me committed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that is, like, if you insisted on it, I don't know.
But I was like, oh, it must be the butterfly effect. I've changed something, so now that horn didn't honk.
The other thing is, Tom, the issue for me is even if it's true,
yeah,
like, I only really see you after work hours, right? So like it's only a few hours
until it all resets
for you,
right?
And then like I see you the next day, the my universe you, and you're like, if you tell me you're in a Groundhog Day situation
again,
you're still like the next day. I'm not in a Groundhog Day situation.
Yeah.
So if you tell me that on a Monday, on Tuesday I'm going to see you, and it's going to be a different day for you.
Oh, I was thinking, like, if you came to me and told me this, I would immediately have an existential fear of, like, oh, I'm going to disappear then. Like, if you're in a Groundhog's Day loop, then I'm in, like, a branch that terminates, and I'll just cease to exist.
No, that's not how it works.
I think that's how it works. Because my other idea was, like, if I was ever going to disappear completely, I would tell people I'm in a Groundhog's Day situation the day before I disappear completely. And then when I disappeared, you guys would have to tell the police, like, no, no indication. However, yesterday he was talking about how he was in a Groundhog Day situation. Maybe that's the truth. And yeah, he disappeared from this timeline because he went back to loop again.
I think we
and then they never try
would tell
and
the
find
police
me.
Anything.
Yeah. Well, oh yeah, or that, like tell somebody something so crazy that they'd be too embarrassed to tell the police.
No, the implication of what I said was that nobody would care enough.
The police came around and be like, I don't know. Look, maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't.
Look,
who
I know
cares?
A lot of people. I don't know the last time I saw him.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.